pray together, then we'll have a little time of meditation on the Word, and then we'll go off camera and we'll pray together. Okay, so let's just pray together. Father in heaven, today as we've been listening to the news, maybe watching the news, we realize that our only hope really is You. And we ask that You would honor the promise there in Psalm 107. If we cry out to You in our trouble, You'll save us out of our distress. We ask that You would send Your Word and heal us tonight and deliver us from our destructions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, open with me to this psalm. Oh, by the way, you know, some weeks ago, a friend of mine, John Crum, sent me an article, and I could not find it. I mean, I know I preached about it recently, and I was like, I was listening to my own sermons on YouTube trying to find it, and I was just searching my computer. Have you ever had that moment where you just can't find something? And I was trying to find the article, but, you know, this article was an article on totalitarian states or strong leaders, maybe not totalitarian states, but strong leaders that are rising around the world because people feel nervous that they're losing their traditional value systems. They feel like they what they stand for is being threatened in the secular arena and in government. And so they actually they don't know what to do, and so they gravitate towards people who promise great things. And we've had people, not just around the world, but in America, that promise great things. And they're both sides of the aisle. They could be Democrats. They could be Republicans. Change You Can Believe In was the last administration's mantra. Make America Great Again is this one's. And there will be many others. I can't remember even what the other one besides Make America Great was this last year. But there's always these lines that are simple answers to complex problems, and everybody gets their hopes up, and then they get behind somebody, and this is happening more and more. In fact, in this article it said it's been happening for a number of years in many different countries, and you see many people that stand up, and then the people usually... It's gravitating more now towards the cities. In America, a little over 50% of people live in the cities now instead of the country. So they have a little edge when it comes down to elections, right? So you watch an election, it looks like, oh man, all the entire state looks like it's going that way, but then you just have these pockets of big population areas, and then once they call it, they count the vote, it goes the other way. And it's so close. And people are so invested because they so desperately want change. They're afraid. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their health. They're losing their trust. They're losing their confidence. And yet they still want someone to help them, you know. And they want something to help them. And so in the study, it said this has been happening, and this is what it's going to be like, according to the article I was reading. Harvard professor studying over 100 different countries and looking at the same trend in all these countries and said, this is what it's going to be like for the next 30 years, she said in the article. 30 years. It's going to be a time, it's going to be time just like this. Bible kind of talks about it as a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation. And so, you know, it pictures it that way. My dad, you know, dad was watching this, some of this with me today, and he said, wow, this is like a time of trouble, such as never was. He goes, I've never seen something like this. And, you know, there's that tension of looking at those signs of, does this mean Christ is coming soon? But then there's that tension of, you know, he can't come until he's got a people to come for. So either of these signs indicate that he has prepared a people. I don't know exactly how it's connected. I'm going to talk about that other side of the equation this weekend. What does it mean for us to be hastening Christ's coming, right? So you understand what I'm saying, right? So there's people that are desperately invested. And this psalm came to my mind as I was listening this morning, and I was listening last night to some of the news. And I have drawn to Psalm 146. So let's read it, first of all, and then reflect a bit. Praise ye the Lord. O my soul, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Notice it doesn't say praise to other people or praise yourself. We'll talk about what you did. We'll talk about all your accomplishments. Or talk about what other people or even other leaders did. It says praise the Lord. Is this what we hear in political discourse?
No.
No, we don't hear this at all. We hear about why you should vote for me, why I'm so great, what I did, and how I did it. And it's not praising God at all. Do not put your trust in princes, nor the son of man, in which there's no help, for his spirit departs, and he returns to his earth, and the very day his plans perish. We'll come back to that. But happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to prisoners, to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. You, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Now that psalm just came to my mind. I was like, this is the psalm for today. So let's look at that. First of all, verse 5 through 9. That's the section. Happy is he who has the Lord. Right there for 9. In other words, God is our only hope, and we can trust in him, those verses are saying. Why? Well, look at them very closely. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. What's that mean? Well, Jacob was delivered. He ultimately was named Israel. And even though he went through all kinds of trials, he was delivered. And look at Psalm 20 just for a minute. It comes to mind. Psalm 20. Because it talks about Jacob, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. Psalm 20. Look at this. May the Lord answer you on a day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you on high or defend you. So Jacob was a supplanter. He was a cheater. He was talked into doing some bad things. But God delivered him. And then he delivered the children of Jacob or the children of Israel. And so what the psalm is saying back here in Psalm 146 is just as I delivered Jacob and just as I delivered Israel, I will deliver you, and you'll be happy if you look to me for your help. And your hope is in the Lord, his God. In other words, your hope is in Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh means the judge, Lord, L-O-R-D. It's always the judge. He makes the true discriminating decisions. He's like the Supreme Court justice, the ultimate. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's going to adjudicate things in a way that will not only make you happy, but you also, he will be your God, Elohim. That means the mighty covenant maker, the one who's in relationship with you. So the reason we want to trust in God as our only real hope is because we look back and see that he is our deliverer. But verse 6 reminds us, he's not just our deliverer, he's also, he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Look at that. This is just like the Ten Commandments. He brought you up out of the land of bondage. This is Israel coming out. And also then the Sabbath commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. For in 6 days he made heaven and earth. It's following that same pattern that you see in the Ten Commandments. And this is the context of the covenant, the mighty covenant maker. And he says, look, I am your redeemer and I'm your creator. And you can't get better than that. No Democrat can do better than that. No Republican can do better than that. No independent can do better than that. So look to me. I am your Redeemer and I am your Creator. Can you say hallelujah?
That's it. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but I wish nobody would have gone to Washington today. I wish everybody would have said, you know what, we're going to trust in God with this. That's what I wish. Anyway, I'm not saying there's never a time to protest. If God says, I'm going to send the Levites out in front of you, and I want them to blow horns, and you're marching around the city, and you know that God's presence is with you, then go. Amen? But I don't know if today was one of those situations. So he redeems us, he creates us, and notice this, verse 6 at the end, he keeps truth forever. I mean, you've ever heard in the public discourse over the last year, we need to be told the truth. Have you heard this at all? Both sides in our country today are saying, we have the truth. No, we have the truth. Wait a minute, he's not telling the truth. We're going to flag his Twitter account. Wait a minute, he's not telling the truth. We're going to take that post off Facebook. Wait a minute, no, we have the truth. We are a special news agency, and we tell you the truth. Everybody is saying they have the truth, and this says none of them have the truth. I have the truth, I'm God, and I have it forever. It's not transitory truth, it's truth forever truth. It's not, how many think that's the kind of truth we need? Now, who is saying they have it? Someone who created us and redeemed us. Look at 7. He executes justice for the oppressed. Both sides say, wait a minute, you're being oppressed by the other side in our politics today. Aren't they saying that? Oh, you're going to be oppressed if they're this. If this person continues on as president, this is what's going to happen. If I'm president, this is what's going to happen. The other side, wait, if he continues president, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be oppression. Both are saying that. But what does God say? I execute justice for the oppressed. Look to me. And I do what? Give food to the hungry. Yes. And I give freedom to the prisoners. The Lord, notice Lord, it's capital L-O-R-D, which means what? The judge again, Yahweh. I'm the one that knows when to let someone out of prison. Right? Amen? Now then, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Talk about health care for everybody. I mean, that sounds good. I open the eyes of the blind. I raise those who are bowed down. And I love the righteous. I watch over the strangers. You don't have to worry about the immigrants. I'm watching over them. Right? He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. In other words, God is our only real hope. Everything in this list, politicians have promised for time immemorial, and they never really have delivered. The only person that can really deliver on these things is who? God. So that's point number one, isn't it? God is our only real hope. Now, like I said, politicians have promised, continue to promise many of these things, but God is the only one who can deliver, and he delivers in humble ways. Who was it that quoted some of these very same things in his very first sermon in his public ministry? Do you remember? It was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It was Jesus himself. And what did he say in Luke chapter 4? Look at Luke chapter 4 just to remind yourself of this great passage, verse 17. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We sang those songs about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of captives. Does this sound familiar? Same thing we saw in Psalm 146. And recovery of sight to the blind. Boom. There it is. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Does that sound familiar? And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's the end of the 70-week prophecy, or the beginning and the end of that 70th week. So he's baptized in that verse, and this is actually AD 27, and then he does that very thing for 3.5 years because it was the acceptable year of the Lord, right? And he does all those things. So go back to Psalm 146 and plug that in. In other words, who is being talked about in verse 5 through 9? Jesus. The hope of the world is God, but God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and tangibly he did everything that was in those verses. So really, should we be pointing people to earthly powers? Who should we point people to? We should be pointing people, Dominic, towards who? God. And who specifically? Jesus, right? Yeshua. God. And, you know, this, if what is happening in our politics and party deliberations today has taught us anything, it is, that's not the way to look. That's not the way to go. Both sides of this equation have demonstrated bankruptness when it comes to answering our true and deepest needs. They are dead in streets. Doesn't mean you shouldn't vote. Doesn't mean there aren't some good things they do. But it's only limited. And that's why section 2, I've kind of divided the psalm up differently, homiletically tonight. I'm taking license with the song. I'm singing the third verse instead of the second verse. You know what I mean? Let's go back now to the second verse of this. Look at 3, verse 3 and 4. So because of this, because we already know who we should be putting our trust in, who should we not be putting our trust in? Put not your trust in what? Princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there's no help. His breath goeth forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. So in other words, if section 1 is true, that God, Jesus Christ, can deliver on all those things as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then who should we not put our trust in? Do not put your trust in princes. Literally that means princes, you look it up. It means those of high rank, humanly speaking. So if you get someone, I put them up on some kind of rank. I might say, hey, they're a billionaire. They've shown that they know how to handle money, so I'm going to put them up on a higher rank. How many of you have been in a room where the richest person in the room, people kind of gravitate to them because they think, you know what? They made a lot of money. We must listen to them. Not necessarily so. In fact, can be a real dead-end street. This can happen in the church, and it can happen outside the church. Don't do that. That's what it's saying. Don't do that. Put not your trust in the Son of Man. Literally, that means a descendant of Adam. How many of you here are descended from Adam? Yeah, you're all part of the Adam family. So, yeah. So, do not put your trust in them. Why? Because, what's it say? In them, there is no help. The word help there is a very interesting word. It doesn't mean transitory help, like, you know, help me change my tire or something like that. It's actually the word salvation. So ultimate salvation is what this is talking about. So you might be able to be helped instrumentally by somebody, but when you talk about salvation, there's only one person that can help you. One person only. There is no other name given among men by which we're saved, except for who? Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You say amen? And if a person can help you with ultimate salvation, how many think they can help you with anything else? And so, in other words, put not your trust in people that are high rank, humanly speaking, and put not your trust in the Son of Man. Because in humans, there's really no ultimate help, no salvation, literally. And also, number two, because at best, they are only alive for what? A short time. They stop breathing, the text says. Let me think that it doesn't matter how good a president you may have been. If you're not breathing, you're not that helpful. Right? They stop breathing. They return to their earth. You know? They're dead. So they die, they're buried, and their thoughts depart, it says. They vanish.
their ideas, their plans, their agendas, their platform. It's God. So don't put too much trust in them because they're transitory. Very, very, very transitory. In fact, in the American system, which is being greatly tested right now, they had so little trust. They had so little trust in putting their trust in people for a long time that they said, look, let's limit the amount of time they can actually be in power, and let's also limit the power they have while they're in power. So let's have a legislative branch, that's Congress, and let's have the Senate, and let's have the executive, and let's have the Supreme Court, and let's spread the power out because we're so nervous about putting our trust in men. And that system has supposed to, you know, function well. But notice the system just totally, totally is nervous about anyone who's human. Look at the person next to you and say, they're nervous about you. Because power, total power, totally corrupts. Right? And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. Dangerous to invest in the Son of Man. And God even limits our time. You know, He says, look, if you look at the Bible chronologies, what do you find? People were supposed to live forever. He set eternity in their hearts. They're supposed to live forever. But then they sinned, and then what happened? Their lifespan started going down, 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 down. You know, I was reading. I'm reading through the Bible, listening to the Bible. My kids are too. We have this Bible.is. It's a little app. You can listen to the Bible. There's different apps out there. You should listen to the Bible this year. I mean, when I'm exercising now, I'm listening to the Bible every day. And as I'm listening to the Bible, I was listening to these genealogies. And I was like, man, some people I know, if they would have lived to be 900 years old or 1,000 years old, look at all the damage they would have done. So God kind of limits the time of humanity even. Because if you live too long, you're going to mess a lot of people up. I was talking to an atheist this week. He's a very honest atheist. And we were talking about the story of Job. And he says, because I mentioned to him, you know, behind the scenes, we were talking about something. He goes, actually, I hate the story of Job because it shows that God is terrible. He killed all his children and he actually is behind it. And Job says he was behind it. And he does this. These people were innocent. And I said, have you ever considered the fact that all those people were going to die anyway? They're all going to die. Everybody mentioned in Job's story is going to die. They're going to die. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. So God, in His wisdom, decided to accelerate that. Why did He decide to accelerate it? Because He wanted to see if Job would demonstrate faithfulness, even if he had that all that horror, and he's going to raise all those people from the dead, they're going to live eternally. And you know what? If I had the time, I need to do this in a sermon. But did you know that for every single commandment of God, there's an incident in the Bible where someone instantly dies from breaking that commandment? Did you know that? Instantly. He accelerates it at least one time for every single commandment. And you see that spelled out, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy. It takes the Ten Commandments and it goes through them slowly. Says, hey, look, if you're saying stuff against your parents, you should be stoned to death. Boom. It says, if you decide to get someone else to worship a false god, you should be killed. It doesn't say wait. It says, you're going to be killed right then. Boom. And this is why Ecclesiastes says, because the sentence against an evil is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are sent into them to constantly do evil. The one good thing about the coronavirus is that it's not good, but the one good thing is it's teaching us all to measure our days. We're all thinking about, what? If I got that, I might be alive for 5 days, and then I'm going to see if my immune system attacks it, and then now I'm going to go to the hospital, intubate me, and I might not make it. I'm going to die. So everybody's like, oh, the sentence is being executed speedily. So now everybody's reading their Bibles. Now everybody's having revivals. Now God is not willing that any should perish. And He's merciful. And He sometimes lengthens them, but make no mistake, we're all going to die.
Only a man wants to die.
Right?
That's limited. So God in His wisdom even sees that. Is it connected to what we're talking about here? Yeah. Don't put your trust in princes or in the Son of Man in whom there's no help. The Spirit departs, He returns to the earth, and that very day His plans vanish. Now, in Jeremiah 17, look at this. Jeremiah 17. Now, Jeremiah 17 is a powerful chapter about many things. Jeremiah talks about the wickedness of man in verse, I think, 1 and 2, if I'm recalling correctly, where it says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a pointed diamond, and engraved on the tablet of their heart." So in other words, man is sinful. They have diamond point etchings of sinfulness in their own hearts. And that's why God says, "I want to write my law in your heart and your mind. I want to do a surgery and change that." And then it says this. Look at this. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man." Now, wait a minute. In our text, it says, "Do not put your trust in princes." But this gets a little more pointed. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Now, look at this. Cursed is the man who trusts in Donald Trump. Cursed is the man who trusts in Joe Biden. Cursed is the man who trusts in Don McIntosh. Cursed is the man who trusts in, you just fill in the blank. Cursed. And makes flesh his strength. Verse 5. Or his arm. In other words, look at, when it says his arm, this is the right arm of God. The right arm of God that leads and guides. If you say someone else is going to be your Savior, which is, this is basically what happens when you put your trust in man, you're cursed. His heart is doing what? Departs from who? The Lord. If we have learned anything again and again in American politics, it's that if we trust in individuals, they're always going to let us down. That's why the church is not to be involved in saying, "Let's get with the right political party and let them do our bidding and help us make the nation godly." That does not mean that godliness raises a nation. I know that the Bible says that. And if we have a godly person there, but a godly person never takes credit to himself. He always gives glory to God. And the solution to the country's ills is pointing people to Jesus Christ and conversion to Christ and the humility of Christ, the servanthood of Christ. Yes? That's the thing. Yes. So, what happens when you depart from the Lord and you put your flesh and strength, verse 6, he'll be like a shrub in the desert. You'll see no good when it comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land not inhabited. So ultimately, when you put your trust in man, you're going to end up where? In a destitute, dry place. You're not even going to know what's happening. But notice verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Does that sound exactly like our text? So if today taught us anything, if you're watching the news all day, and I could see it I was watching these newscasters who are big supporters of President Trump, and I was watching the newscasters that are big supporters of Biden. And the ones that were supporters of Trump today were like, "Oh man, this is bad. Bad." They said, "Man, I wish we wouldn't have trusted him with this." But then somebody would do it. And they're saying, "Oh man, if we don't turn around, we're going to be in a dry place politically. We're going to be in the desert. We're not going to come back from this." They didn't say these words, but they were living these words out. The answer is what? God. This is a very powerful psalm, isn't it? Job 8:14, whose hope is cut off, whose trust shall be a spider's web. a spider's web. How many of you ever looked at a spider's web and said, well, that looks like it could hold me up? And then when you set up, it was holding the spider up. But then you touch on that spider's web, what happens? It lets you down. And God says the same thing about Egypt. In another verse, he says, don't trust in Egypt and his staff. Because in the end, they'll pierce your hand. In other words, it looks fine. All God's people were always like, we should trust the Egyptians. Pharaoh, let's not have Pharaoh make us great again. Or let's just do that. I mean, he's the guy. Pharaoh's the guy. And God says, don't go down to Pharaoh. So then Pharaoh makes himself sound good. Finally, he goes up to the Battle of Carchemish. And he gets whomped on by the Babylonians. They obliterate him. And then the Babylonians all come down and they take everybody captive to Babylon who was trusting in Egypt, including Jerusalem, who didn't listen to God but listened to Pharaoh. So sometimes it looks like we can trust people that are in power, and it looks good. They have slogans, they have memorabilia, they have uniforms, they have banners, they got good looking people that, you know, they got celebrities that talk about them, they got all the stuff going on. But then when it comes down to the real thing, they let you down. You lean on them and the staff lets you down. God's rod and staff comforts you, but the staff of Egypt will let you down. Trust not in man, trust in God. Section 3, verse 10. For the Lord, back to Psalm 146, shall reign forever, even thy God. O Zion, unto all generations, praise you the Lord. Look at this. Section 3 is saying what? Human government with its transitory players and partial solutions is transcended by the government of God. Why? Because what? The Lord, meaning the righteous judge, shall reign, meaning literally be king, forever. Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. We sang it, didn't we? Lead on, O King, for 4 years? For 8 years? No. King Eternal, forever, always. And this includes how many generations? Every generation, including our own generation. I mean, this is a powerful psalm, isn't it? Who are you voting for? I'm voting for Jesus. And then section 4 points to the assignment that is given to those who put their trust in the Lord God instead of man. Verse 10c and verse 1 and 2. 10c ends at the end of 10. What's it say? Praise the Lord. So don't praise your political party. Praise the Lord. And then go back to verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God. He's the judge. He's the one I'm in relationship with. While I have any being at all. I'm not talking about going to a mall and saying, 4 more years. No, no, no. We're saying, forever, forever. We're not saying, we love you, Trump. We're not saying, we love you, Biden. We're saying, we love you, Lord. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. And so our assignment for today is what? To praise the Lord. Our assignment is to put our trust in His government. And our assignment is to be happy. What it says there back in verse 5? Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. So in other words, we've got a lot of angry people. Have you noticed that we have a lot of angry people? It doesn't matter which side you're looking at politically. Oh, we're angry about that. Oh, we got some injustice. Oh, everybody's angry. How many of you are sick of the anger? They're sick of the anger. And you know what? These news stations, they just focus on the things they got angry about. They just constantly ruminate on it. This is not the life of a Christian. This is not the life of someone who has Jesus as their king. They don't need to be glued to the set. Oh, what they say next? They don't need that. They need to focus on Jesus Christ and Him alone. And guess what happens as a result of that? They have happiness. So our job is to do what? Hallelujah. Praise Hallel. These are the Hallel Psalms. Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Sing about it. Put your trust in His government. Be happy in His government. And point others to His government. Can you say hallelujah? This is the word I believe for today. This is the word for today. So share it. Make your heart glad in it. And don't be hard on people that have invested in political powers. They're trying to find help and hope, but point them to something even more powerful. You want 4 more years? God wants eternity. You want better health care? He wants to take away your blindness completely. You want the superficial? He wants the significant. That's what this psalm is teaching. Let's pray, and then we'll go off camera, and then we'll pray together here in our socially distanced ways. But let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the meditation and reflection on this song. Thank you for the songs that you actually taught ancient Israel to help them remember to keep the main thing, and the main God. It's a message we need today in our own lives, in our own country, and our heart goes out to those in this nation that are so polarized and so often, even ourselves, looking not to you, but to humanity. May we readjust our vision. May we put our trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.